We went over before, and we can continue the conversation, whether the season was a success or failure. I think success. BT says failure. But let's spin it forward a little bit, BT. We talked about Karl Anthony Towns being the main culprit. For me, at least, and I know you said the same, you were trashing Karl Anthony Towns, so we agree with him being the main culprit as to why the Knicks fell short. Tom Thibodeau has come up a little bit here. Now, I want to give you my take on this before you let loose on him here. For me, and Brunson backed this up, and now, look, Jalen Brunson has backed the team up and believing in him, but to me, when you start messing with things that you know are working, you're going down a slippery slope. And I understand that certain things about this group need to change. I'm not just saying change personnel. I'm talking about the way that they go about the offense, things like that to me, or the using Brunson and Cat together. But if you were to move on from Tom Thibodeau, I think you could be going down now a bad slope, which could get you back into the parts that we saw for the better part of 25 years. Whereas you have a known commodity in Tom Thibodeau who has built this team, helped build the foundation blocks, getting them to play hard, play together, building them to where they've gotten to now, which is this year, the Eastern Conference Finals, something where they haven't been in 25 years. I do believe he'll do his best to maximize what he has, especially given another year with this same group, hopefully fully healthy. I'm not ready to go away from Tom Thibodeau. Obviously, work needs to be done, but I think if you go away from Tibbs and are calling for Tibbs to be fired, you're making a mistake, and it could lead to another period of sustained Knicks losing.
I think you lay it out well. I understand what you're saying. I have an expiration point on that, and I'm at it. So while I get it, and I appreciate his impact, and I appreciate his commitment, and I appreciate all the things he's accomplished as a head coach, I stand by what I said earlier in the show. It's either Tibbs or it's Cat. Somebody's got to go. And to me, it's easier to get rid of the coach, although I prefer Tibbs over Cat. So it's almost like this contradiction. I mean, I don't know who the hell's going to trade for Cat. I mean, everybody knows who he is at this point. He's making a ton of money. He's got guaranteed years to go. Do you really want somebody who can't move and can't do a pick and roll in the modern NBA? Does anybody really want that anymore?
Right, so we agree there, though, that if you could, forget about whether they can or will.
Yep.
I would choose Tibbs over keeping Cat.
I would, too. But if it means, here's where I'm going to veer. If the Knicks make the determination that they believe they can kind of modify and augment a few things with Cat and make it work better with maybe an addition this summer from like a bench player, then I'm not running the back with Tibbs. I can't have them both here. There is too much evidence here, Sal. Like, again, and I know some of this has been said a lot, but I've got to say it once more because especially with Tom Thibodeau, who I respect profoundly, like I really do. And this is not a hot take, although I'm sure some will take it that way. I have the utmost respect for this man's ability to grind, for his investment in his craft, for his accomplishments as a very good, not great, but very good NBA head coach. But we're at the point now where he's 20-plus years into his career, and what's happened, guys, the NBA has changed, okay? The offenses have become far more complex. So not only are his lack of offensive feel is very apparent. I mean, the lack of creativity is appalling on the Knicks offense. It really is just dribble, 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 hope Brunson bails you out. That's the Knicks offense. But I can understand that if the and I can deal with that if the defense was still there, okay? And by the complexities of the modern NBA offense being what they are, his defensive chops are no longer what they are because he has not adjusted to the changes on offense. And there's no creativity on offense, but there's also no resistance to basic components of the NBA. Pick and roll, three-point shooting, and transition. The Knicks are deplorable in all three.
Right, but why?
He's the head coach, and he's a head coach with a defensive background. How could I not lump that on his doorstep?
Because you just said it. He's known for being a defensive head coach. Did he forget how to defend? Did the league pass him by?
Yes, the second choice.
Why? Were they not good defensively a year ago?
Well, they had some different players.
I understand that.
But here's the other thing, too, Sal. Now, part of it's personnel. I don't think it's a perfect roster. I give you that, and I give him that for sure. But to me, like the ceiling is just, my head's touching it. Like, that's it. You know, I don't know what he can do. Oh, I do. Let me say it differently. I don't think that there's anything he can do even if he has the most, even if he stares at himself in the mirror for 10 hours straight and truly tries to change things, I think that the personnel is too limited. So the offense isn't good enough. The defense is not even close to being good enough. And I don't think that the coach is either adaptable or has the foresight to meet the changes of the modern NBA. That's just my harsh reality. And I say that with as much respect as I can bestow upon anybody. Tom Thibodeau has lifted this team from the trash. And I'm not trying to gloss over that. Like, I'm not just trying to go from, oh, they win the championship, he's got to go. That's not my, but this is not 4 years ago or with COVID. And this is not 3 years ago with the Heat or last year when everybody got banged up. This is supposed to look like a championship team. They don't. And with him and Cat, I don't think they ever will.
But if your biggest argument is the defense, a year ago, so that's not like the sport evolving to a point where he hasn't evolved, the sport passing him by. A year ago, there was second-ranked defensive team in the league in the regular season. This year, and who would you say was the Knicks' best defensive player overall this year?
Mitch out there. And Deuce is very good as well, and Shamet.
So without their best defense, without their best defensive player, Mitchell Robinson, the majority of the year, the Knicks were ninth.
I know
in defense in the regular season. So to me, that's not on Tibbs. That is clearly on the players. When you get rid of guys, not get rid of, but they lost Hartenstein, they traded DiVincenzo. When you lose those type of guys and bring in Carl Anthony Towns,
you want to get on Leon Rose then? If you're right, then I feel like you should be getting on Leon Rose for bringing in the wrong guys.
No, I'm getting on the players for not doing their job.
They're not good enough.
Because I was willing to, and I believe that they were willing to, the Knicks, sacrifice a little bit of defense. I don't need the number two defensive team in the league when you're not going to have a top offense. What I will do is sacrifice some of the defense as long as you still have a top offense. And yeah, statistically, they might have been okay offensively. They were nowhere near consistently enough for my liking or to overcome the drop-off in defense from a year ago.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that's on the head coach. And by the way, even if it is, even if we agree and say, okay, well, Tibbs could be better than he was, it's year one with a new group, without his best defensive player for the majority of the year, without much depth on the bench. So he's working with not only trying to bring in Cat and Bridges, two big players into this group that was being built up from the foundation years ago. Now he's trying to change this. It's year one with that, not to mention his most integral defensive player being out the majority of the year, where we saw this team evolve and grow to a certain extent throughout the course of three postseason series.
I remember the first time, this is going to sound dopey for a second, but just roll with me. First time I ever coached kids, I promised the parents, I said, I'm never going to ask your kid to do something that he's not capable of doing, okay? And that is coaching 101. You cannot ask a professional, even pros, to do stuff that they are physically not equipped to do. And Tom Thibodeau kept doing that. He did not adjust, Sal. So I sit here and I say, yeah, I get it. You know, Mitchell was hurt. They still were pretty highly rated defensively. But in the playoffs, which are radically different than the regular season, there were no adjustments. And I've got to reiterate, and it's 10 seconds, I'm sitting there with Sal watching the game because this is just, every Knicks fan will feel what I'm about to say. Literally, I forget who scored the button. Knicks scored a big, semi-big basket the other night. I turn 2 feet to my left to Sal, who's in my backyard, and I give him a pound. I go to grab my beer. Pacers scored.
And they did that all series.
And it happened all series. They could not get back. 10, 12, 15 times a game. So I'm sorry, guys. As much as I have great respect for Tom Thibodeau. If you can't get your team back to play defense, just two guys, I don't need five. And I know that there's matchups and cross matchups, and I'll let them figure that out. But at least two guys who get their asses from the offensive zone past midcourt, how am I going to believe that you're going to be the guy to win this team a championship?
Okay, so then a natural volley back would be then who? You know what Tibbs' resume is,
Malone,
here with the Knicks? Okay, but Mike Malone, he got fired, and there's a reason why he got fired.
Well, everybody gets fired for a reason.
In his last ever playoff game as a Denver coach, he blew a 20-point lead at home in Game 7 and lost to the T-Wolves.
Cat, I know.
And then I'll give you one more stat, and this is not just you, this is for everybody else. Playoff wins the last 2 years. Like, give me, if you couldn't have Malone, the other name that comes up.
Spoelstra's from Miami. They're not going to trade him here.
Playoff wins the last two seasons.
Atkinson should have been the coach.
Spoelstra won. Nick Nurse, 2. Doc Rivers, 3.
No way.
Steve Kerr, 5.
No thanks.
Lou, 5.
No thanks.
Big Bad Mike Malone, 7. Tom Thibodeau, 17. I mean,
17
playoff wins the last 2 years.
Okay.
17 wins the last 2 years. Malone, 7. Lou, Kerr, each with 5. Doc with 3. Nurse with 2. Spoelstra with 1.
Okay.
So my point is, like, I get it. We're watching it in real time. And you even asked me before, do I think the Knicks look like a well-coached team? No, because the offense was inconsistent and at times erratic. Just there was no, like, you could determine what they're trying to do offensively. 1 minute it's Brunson, 1 minute it's Cat, 1 minute it's through Bridges. Okay, so they're trying to go through their best players. Understood. It's not the way that I thought it would be, but I'm not the head coach. But you want to pick on the coach, fine. There is not necessarily a better answer out there. And when you know that this guy Tibbs has done what he's done in New York, we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how anybody would want to get away from that. At this point, I do think there will be a point where it's going to be, hey, you either need to find somebody else who might be able to maximize this group differently or get a new group of stars. What will happen first?
A new group of stars.
Yeah, well,
how's that happening?
Well, or realize that it's not the head coach, that it's most likely your two stars aren't good enough. And I say two because Kat's been the whipping boy, but it includes Jalen Brunson.
I'm happy you say that. And not just a veer right into Brunson, but you're not wrong. I mean, Jalen Brunson, he is our star. And there's certain things that he does are superstarish. And then there's certain things that he does where you're like, woof, I don't know if we're going to win with him being the top dog here. That's just an honest reaction. And I love the guy. I love him as much as anybody, man. Jalen Brunson's phenomenal. Jalen Brunson's got some holes in his game that are big, big problems. And then paired with Towns, they're insurmountable problems. And listen, here's the other thing I can't do. And I'll let actual coaches talk about this. But the Knicks doing drop coverage. I mean, the Knicks always switching on picking. He's stubborn, dude. He's stubborn to the point. Tom Thibodeau. He's stubborn to the point, Sal. This is why I give him not an ounce of credit for going to DeLon Wright or Landry Shamet or some of the bench players, because he did it because he had to. It's not like he cooked it up and said, hey, game one, Pacers, they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and they're not expecting this, and I'm going to give these guys 7-8 minutes a half to counteract how they're going to move the ball and how they're going to get around and how they're going to score and get up and down the court. So I'm going to play proactively, by my decision, DeLon Wright and Shamet, because I think it's best for the team. No, he did it because his point guard got fouls every game,
right,
and his starting center couldn't stay on the court. So he's like, I got to try something.
Well,
and what are you going to ask the concession guy to play?
Maybe
somebody's got to play.
He basically did with DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet. I mean, come on, that's who you're going to? Like, that's who we're going to determine?
They play better when those guys played.
I do not believe, and I say this, I'm convinced, I do not believe there's a better head coach that the Knicks could get. While understanding that, look, there may be some limitations here or some things that we don't love about Tibbs. I think there's going to be, every coach is going to have limitations and things we don't love about him. I do not believe there is a better head coach that the Knicks could go out there and get. If you left everybody that's employed available, I don't think there's anybody better than Tibbs right
now. You might
be
right. And listen, that is a tightrope that I'm willing to walk. Now, just to be clear, I would rather get rid of Cat.
Well,
he's not it. He's not it.
He's the two biggest problems, what I said going into the postseason, when we're having the debate about Tibbs.
Yep.
The biggest reason why this team will fall short, if they fall short, obviously this year they did, but in their window, their championship window, whenever that may be, is ultimately going to be because Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson aren't good enough stars. It pains me to say that about Brunson because I love him with every fiber of my fan being.
Yeah,
he's everything you could want. Mentality, work ethic, attitude, all those different things. But is he good enough to win a championship? I don't know. Karl Anthony Towns, is he good enough to win a championship? Those two guys together, they're going to try. They failed already in year one. Ultimately, I believe that is what's going to hold them back. And we're not going to know definitively until the Knicks do make a change at head coach, which might come in maybe next year, 2 years, whatever. Then we'll really find out. But to me, it's not Tibbs. It's those two guys that are the biggest problem.
And I don't think they're going to move on from Tom Thibodeau. Matter of fact, I'm almost positive that they're not. He'll be back next year. I'm just telling you, you know, what I think of what I see.
Malone the only guy?
Or the trade for Spoelstra.
Okay. Jay Wright?
Zoo brought up Jay Wright's name in my ear. I didn't bring it up because it's come up on the show before. I don't know if you heard it. Obviously filling in for Dope today, so I don't know if you actually heard when that came up. Others have said that as well. No, I wouldn't do Jay Wright at this point. To me, it would only be for Malone. And I'm not looking to banish him. Like, hey, Tom, go to the front office. You're a Nick. You're with us the rest of your career. You know, be an executive. Go to the front office. I understand that if they didn't, which they won't, but if they did make a coaching change, what you laid out, there's a very real possibility that the Knicks go backwards. I agree with that. That is a risk that I'm willing to take because I don't believe they will ever go forward enough with Tom Thibodeau.
Think about this, though, right? We talk about Malone. He's the one guy you would want, and I understand why. He won a championship.
And also his dad coached here. He's a Jersey guy. It's not like he's from Montana. Like he was born in Queens. He went to see the whole prep.
He had Jokic.
I know.
And he failed with him. Like, yes, they won a championship, failed with him. Think about some of the other guys that have had either. We mentioned Steve Kerr, obviously, you know the great players that he had, or Doc Rivers. You know, Bud had it with Giannis, Spoelstra with LeBron. Like, Tibbs' top stars are Towns, who you said more than anybody, soft and slow.
Yeah, he is. Brunson, slower than I thought.
Brunson, who's got defensive liabilities, Tibbs turned him into an all. Like, he's maximized the players that he has had.
Yes. Yeah, he's maximized Brunson offensively, but I see somebody who stagnated, unfortunately, the rest of the team offensively in allowing Brunson to dribble, 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 and for Jalen Brunson to become our Nick Jalen Brunson. I mean, Bridges is a diminished player. OG shows up every other game. Cat's not the guy that we thought he would be. The bench isn't there. So, he unleashed Brunson, but to what extent?
And the easiest thing, the reason why we have the conversation, and I know we're just getting started with this, like Cole's going to want to talk about it, not now, but for weeks or next year. You know, Tibbs, he's got to go. Because that's the easiest thing to change.
Yep.
Just because it's the easiest thing to change doesn't mean it's the right thing to do and doesn't mean they're going to be better because of it. At some point, they're going to get to a point where they're going to have to make a decision on how they're going to try to get to another level. And if they feel like they can't move the players, then maybe that's when Dolan steps in and does something about the coach.
Yep.
I think it'd be a massive mistake.
Okay, one more thing on this. The other thing I don't want to be is reactive here. I want to be proactive. Now, again, I don't think that they will be. It is not appealing to me to run back basically the same team, which they will outside of one bench player, right? You know, and you're going to have to extend Bridges, whose contract is up after, you know, next year. So he's going to get a 4 or 5 year deal, whatever. He's going to make big money, not worth it. Cat's not worth the money. We all know the issues with the Knicks here. And what's going to happen, or what I'm fearful of and that I want to proactively avoid happening, is in the middle of next season, when they do run it back, which I think they will, I don't want to have to come on the air with solutions to save something that's broken. It's not broken yet. It's still fixable. This is not a 3, 4, 5 year window. This is literally a 2 year window, the way I see it, based on the limitations monetarily and also the draft equity here. So realizing that it could get worse, I understand, but I would rather react and play some offense here rather than midseason, still can't defend the three, still can't get back in transition. Brunson and Cat, still not a great pair, can't win it. Well, what do we do now? Well, somebody hired Malone or somebody brought in Jay Wright, whatever. And then I'm like, well, I do nothing, or the option I should have done is gone.
Yeah, eventually we'll get into
ready to level up. Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere, with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
To some of the moves of the offseason and what they need to do, the ancillary pieces, backup pieces, things like that. I look forward to it, honestly, because it's something that we really didn't dive into a ton last year. They did obviously make the big moves with Bridges and Towns. Now it's going to be more like trying to fine-tune this team, what they could do. But it'll be a fun conversation in the offseason. And now off of this type of run where you look at what they did 2 years ago, getting the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Semis and losing.
Yeah.
Furthering it this year by getting the Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Now it really is going to be all about trying to fine-tune and get to a level of winning a championship.
We've talked a lot about the actual basketball stuff, right? All right, that's obvious. Did it bother you or worry you at all the last 2 days, whether it was Deuce, whether there were some reports during the season about Mikal Bridges unhappy with his minutes usage, whether it was some other things about actual Knick players being very dissatisfied with Karl Anthony Towns buying into the defense, either knowing what to do or being able to do it. Like, yeah, they didn't look good on the court, too many aspects and too many facets, but there's some other noise which generally does not portend good things moving forward. I'm not even sure if I like the chemistry.
Think about what Wally Szczerbiak said to start the postseason.
Yeah.
And now, remember, and in case you missed it, he was saying that if the Knicks don't blow out the Pistons, basically, there's something going on that's not good internally. I'm paraphrasing. But
that's a good pull. I remember it well. Yeah.
Well, clearly he knew something because the second after they got eliminated, stuff's starting to come out like that. So I actually, like, instead of being concerned or worried, I think it validates what maybe our fears were and gives us a reason to understand. Like, I firmly believe, in spite of what Brunson says, and Brunson is the leader of this team, so he might feel differently than maybe the other pieces. I do believe that there's an issue with a lot of the players that they have with Karl-Anthony Towns, because if you're trying to pull the rope one way and get on defense together and one guy's not pulling and he makes it impossible, is making everybody else look bad but just doesn't care to do it, mm-hmm. wouldn't you be pissed at him too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So
it's human nature.
So I almost, it's sick, but I like it because it gives reason to what's going on. A bigger issue would be like, oh, he's playing his ass off. He's playing his ass off. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know what the issue is. Now it's on them to figure out how to fix it.
It's like going to therapy. I mean, you can talk around that issue all you want, but until you actually identify and you're honest with yourself, it's probably not going to get resolved here. But the only thing about that worries me, I don't think he's got the physical capabilities to resolve it enough, but... Yeah, we'll see. No. I don't think you're going to be able to get rid of him as much as I would.
He's not going to fix it. It's going to be on Tibbs and bringing in the other pieces around the team.
To hide it almost.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Dan is calling from Saratoga. What's up, Dan?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Been a while.
How are you, Dan?
What's up, Danny?
I'm fine.
See you this weekend. Big weekend coming at Saratoga.
Sal, I hope you get here Thursday because it's 4 days of nonstop partying.
As a matter of fact, that's the only solace that I took in the Knicks getting eliminated. I will be heading up Thursday evening, so I'll be there Friday, Saturday at the track. Cannot wait.
See Francesa there or no?
He probably will be there, I would think.
Yeah.
See Mike.
If I bump into you, I'll say hello.
All right, Dan. Look forward to it. What's going
on? When I watched this series, one thing I noticed. When Brunson was on the bench, the Knicks seem to have an attitude of, let's just hold our own. If we're 7 or 10 behind, let's hope we're 7 or 10 behind when he comes back in the game. When I watch the other guy, Halliburton, go on the bench, that McConnell kid, he pushes that ball up in 2 seconds. They're throwing extra passes to find the open man, and the Knicks are standing in cement on transition. You got to have a guy come off the bench that can really, really continue to make things happen. Not let's just hope we stand still.
Yeah.
If I'm all wet, let me know.
Well, yeah, but they did. But hold on a sec, Dan. They did knock down some deficits. I know what you're saying, but the numbers would disprove what you just said because they cut into deficits and expanded leads most of the series, the bench.
With Brunson on the bench?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Well, I didn't notice it.
Okay.
And all I can say is when it comes to transition, that McConnell, that kid can move a ball.
He didn't hurt the Knicks, though, this series, except he stuck a few the other night.
Yeah, stuck a few that you or I could have made.
He's he was
wide open.
Open.
Yeah. How many times is he going to do it? Like, wide open to a point where he sets, looks around, is in disbelief, like, holy crap, nobody's here. Okay, I'll shoot it again. Like, what the hell is that about? That's not on getting back, BT.
Yep.
And that's not on schemes to me. That is on players just being lost out.
It's also based on recognition, though. Like, I think it's underselling the responsibilities of knowing what to do defensively. It's not... I get it. Somebody's that open, you're like, dude, somebody didn't bust their ass to go cover him. And there's a part of that for sure. I just think it's missed assignments. It's almost like a blown coverage in the secondary. It really is. It's not that different.
So I still don't know how we could blame the coach for that.
Well, he's the coach.
I know, but if you're telling the players what to do and they just don't do it, and they can't figure it out. And by the way, maybe this takes a full offseason of grinding them down and being like, yeah, all right, here's what we're going to do until you get it right. You can't do it in one season. You certainly can't do it without Mitchell Robinson.
Yep.
Maybe you can't do it with certain elements that they had going for them, but that's clearly got to be the thing. And I trust that Tibbs is going to do it, work on the most in the offseason, their defensive assignments.
So look at this. So the defensive assignments, that's got to be fixed. If you can't get back, you just can't win. But these three things, four, very fast. So the Knicks ranked 18th in passes per game. oh, what a weird stat. It's like barrel rate. Well, if you're not passing the ball very often, you're stagnant. So that's a pertinent number to me. 18th. They're 26. This, I never even heard of this one, but it's not good. 26th in average speed moved by the players. Again, stagnation. Like, they actually measure right. how fast each player is moving, and the Knicks' rate of pace is 26th in terms of guys actually moving.
Well, how much of that is on Carl Anthony Towns? In
yeah, no, I'm not just saying it's all Tom Thibodeau. It's personnel, but it's also coaching, and it's also philosophy. They're 28th in threes attempted, and they're 23rd in free throw rate. So let me get this straight. They're not getting, you know, they're not getting to and making enough threes. They're not getting to and making enough free throws. They're kind of standing around, not doing a whole lot, and they're really not passing the ball around too much. How is that good?
Yeah, that see, that bothers me the most. I know the defense, but I think the defense, at least there's reason for it. There's no reason why the offense should have those type of numbers. Ryan is calling from Middletown. What's up, Ryan?
What's up? How you doing? Earlier, BT, or Sal, you said that Brunson is everything that you wanted in a superstar. And after watching this series, I don't know if Cat embodies any of that. Like, obviously, his offensive skill set throughout the regular season was on display.
Mm-hmm.
But when times came tough, your seven-footer is finishing weakly at the rim and looking for a foul call. It was infuriating.
Yep.
Like, where was the tenacity? And I understand that there's a lot of questions about the way he was managing the lineup and the bench, and you saw things start to change when the backs were against the wall. But how about when your back's against the wall? Where's your star? Where's Cat? Like, he was the guy, and you're just always, it was always looking for an excuse. There was never any strength, or he didn't seem like he wanted to be the man in New York for the Knicks. He wanted to be the guy when it came down to it. And that, like, that's a him problem. I don't think that comes down to Tibbs.
See,
I think that in the first year of doing what he's doing with a limited bench, you got to figure things out. But the lack of tenacity and ability to just make big plays from Cat was extremely frustrating.
See, the one I agree that it's frustrating, Ryan, and thank you for the call. The one thing I would say is I don't believe, BT, it's from a lack of desire or tenacity. I just don't believe he can do it successfully when things get ratcheted up in the postseason against tighter defenses.
Why? It's not a skill thing, because he's skilled.
I don't know that he is.
Mm.
Tell me his skill down low.
Yeah.
Or his skill going to the rim. His skill is not his physical size. Okay, what? So that it's that he plays like a guard at times in a big body?
Yeah.
But he's out of control.
Yeah,
he's not good in the post where you have a feel, kicking it out, feeling the double team, making a quick decision, passing the basketball. He's erratic with his body movement to the bucket with the ball. He's an offensive foul machine. They call it often. A lot of times they don't call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fortunate to get away with it. There's not a clear move where you feed it down to him. You feel confident he's going to back down his defender, come up with a shot. There's no consistency to it. To me, his best attribute as an offensive player, and you don't need to be tenacious to shoot threes, it is beyond the arc. A big who should be able to stretch the floor. I don't know why they didn't use that more from him, because I don't think his game down low is any good in the postseason.
You're right. You know, one thing they say about the NBA, and they said this forever here, is get to your spot. Whatever your spot is, get there. Kobe's fadeaway, MJ's fadeaway, Dominique working the baseline, Patrick 15-footer baseline. You know, whatever it is, you know, Shaq just steamrolling his way past people, Kareem's baby hook or the real hook, Bird fall away. Everybody knows what the great players, what their spot was and what they would do to get there. Carl Anthony Towns, this really did hit me. Doesn't have a spot. Doesn't really have a plan. It's give me the ball, and to your point, I'm going to be a 7'1" two guard or a small forward and double pump and flail my way to the rim and hope I get a call. And even now, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it when the ball went in, but even half the time, like, it would bang off the backboard. I'm like, how the hell? Yeah. All right, that went in. All right, come on, Cat, let's go. But I'm sitting there saying, that just didn't look smooth or polished. And I've always gotten on Ewing for the finals in 94, but at least I know he was outplayed by a better player. Hakeem Olajuwon is a top 10, 12, 13 player of all time. Pat's more like 25 or 30, in my opinion. I think Olajuwon's the greatest underrated superstar in the history of the game. So at least, like, when I think about it pragmatically, I'm like, all right, Patrick got beaten by a better player. Miles Turner is a fellow softie that you were supposed to put in your back pocket, and you didn't. And that is unforgivable, and it's inexcusable.
Yeah, and I just would have liked to have seen him attempt more threes. Now, make or miss, that's a different story. But there was not a focus, or he was not made a focal point beyond the arc to knock down more threes. That's the best part of his game to me. So I don't get it. I know everybody wanted to see him, but I don't think it's because of tenacity. We've talked about some of that stuff. I don't believe
it. I think it's fake tenacity. I think Carl Anthony Towns, the kind of guy who is going to try to bully somebody that he thinks he can bully. That's why you see the flexes that mean nothing. We talked about this the other day. But you get in there against like a Draymond or somebody who's going to bring that smoke, real smoke, right back to you, I think he just disappears. I just don't think he's tough enough.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
But he did a montage, I guess, to the song, to the 50 Cent song, I Run New York.
And, I did not see
and
this.
Showing how, I know. Now, the point is, he is making it sound like he runs New York. Here's what I just want to say about Haliburton. While I give him credit for a terrific series and his Pacers eliminating our Knicks 2 years in a row, New York put Tyrese Haliburton, who plays for the crappy Indiana Pacers, like you're in Indiana. New York put you on the map. You don't run bleep. We put you on the map. Whether it's Wally Szczerbiak saying he's overrated, mm-hmm. whether it's his performance against the Knicks a year ago, whether it's the Knicks choking one in game one, allowing him to again be the villain with the choke sign. Without New York, nobody gives a crap about you, Tyrese Haliburton. You don't run squat. Here's what you better hope you run. You better hope you don't run into a buzzsaw in the Thunder in the finals. Because beating the Knicks is not the trophy that you should be trying to get here. You've done that now a couple of times. So stop with the I Run New York stuff. Stop with your girlfriend on social media. Go New York, go New York, go home. Enough. Without New York, you're nothing. We made you. We run you. Haliburton, I run New York. Get out of here. At least Reggie was a good player.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were saying he's overrated to a certain extent. You well, don't just run
because,
New York.
Because of his clutch moments, I think yeah. he's been elevated to like the Stockton, Malone, Ewing, Barkley, non-champion line. But that's what I meant with Reggie.
But he's an all-time great shooter.
No doubt. In terms of Haliburton, don't forget, Boomer, we've also given him notoriety. Boomer and Gio mocking is one of, you know, 8 or 9 voices
right.
that kind of appear during interviews. So we helped him out with that as well. So I was entertained by that a little bit. I was laughing as you were doing it. The problem is, if there's anybody who can't say anything about how, well, we can, but it just doesn't really have a lot of oomph behind it.
I know.
It's us.
No, but
you know what I mean? Like, just 2 years in a row.
But I'm not saying Knicks are better than you.
I know.
I'm talking New York. He's saying he runs New York. We're saying you don't run squat. Now you're back to irrelevant again. Good luck against the Thunder. Good luck
unless
getting
he wins the championship.
Well, we'll then see what happens.
No, I'm saying, which yeah. I don't think he will. By the way, you think it's a quick series?
I do.
I don't think it's as quick as some think.
I hope they get dust.
I won't watch 1 second of it. I can't check in on this.
I might. I won't. I hope they get dusted. I want to see them lose. I really don't care that much anymore. Knicks are out, so that's all that matters. But don't you take offense to that? I do think it's going to be a quick series. But like you said, like what's the interest level in New York now? We're all bothered by the fact the Knicks lost. Don't you think that's a little offensive when he starts talking about, I run New York? And if I'm bothered by that, and I know other Knicks fans and New Yorkers are bothered by that, yo, Jalen, this is your city, man. He's talking to you. He ain't talking to us. He's talking to you, Jalen. Tyrese Haliburton saying he runs New York? I thought this was Jalen Brunson's town. So maybe Jalen needs to step up and not let this happen again.
Be nice.
For the third straight year next year.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, yeah, I mean, if I really, I didn't see it, first of all. I'm sure it would have pissed me off if I saw it.
Dude, come on.
I'm sure. Maybe I'll have to just
his
look.
His girlfriend
just to
talking
see.
Smack, too.
Yeah,
go
she
New
is
York,
too.
Go
She's
New York, go
in.
Home. They're that, ripping it Ben Stiller now.
That's a sacred song. You can't mess with that song,
yeah,
but apparently
yeah.
they are. The only thing that I would say is, like, there's nothing I could do about it. You know, so it is just...
Oh, he didn't beat us.
It's misplaced anger. Like, if I watch it and I get angry, which I sense I probably will, what do I do with that?
You think Tyrese Halliburton runs New York?
No, dude.
Okay. So what if Otani
put... We don't have a mayor that properly runs New York.
That's a good point. We need somebody actually to run New York. What if Otani put out a hype video after the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series, put out, I run New York. You're not going to take a... You're going to sit back and say, well, we can't say anything?
I would say, what'd you hit, 190 in the World Series?
Okay, so now we're getting somewhere.
390.
Now we're getting somewhere.
I mean...
You know what I'm
saying?
I'd
say, how much did you put on the series, Otani?
See? All right, now we're getting somewhere. Yeah. It's not about the result, because you're right. Hey, you have to tip your cap. The Pacers beat the Knicks fair and square.
Yeah.
When you start saying you run New York, now you're involving us. He didn't say, I run the Knicks. I own the Knicks. The Knicks are choke artists. He's saying he runs New York. I'm here as a member of the media in New York to let him know you don't run squat. We run you. You, without New York and our fan base ripping you, you'd be nothing. You'd be nothing. That's what I wanted to just get off my...
I'm sure you wish you could say a lot more. Don't you wish there were just times you could just drop whatever you wanted, like any word that you can.
Yeah, well, you maybe could do that in the post-reaction videos at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about, by the way, Sal, I was thinking about flipping on the IG Live during the game the other night.
We should, with you and I watching it?
With you and I watch it. The only reason I didn't do it, like, I don't mess around with that. If I'm having a little bit of fun, you know, some people do it, they can flip it on and they don't care. That's just not me. I don't want to say... You know, I get worked up, as you know. So
it would have been fun, but also then also becomes, like you said, work, because then you got to watch what you say. We just wanted to live in real time and enjoy the game. But it was fun. Yeah, maybe one of these days. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the phones we go. Steven is calling from Harlem. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Steve.
All right. So I'm going to walk a little bit of a tight line here and, like, listen, I believe in continuity, but I can see the back and forth here a bit. It shouldn't have taken until the Pacers series for a specific rotation to come out that focuses on Cat's offense and hides his defense. And, you know, take the face away from who the coach is going to be next year and just paint the picture. What do the Knicks need? They need someone who can come up with different rotations to feature and star different individuals and cover their weaknesses. I mean, if we could do this over again a few months from now and we could add in a rotation that exploits OG or exploits Towns, and you can get them in rhythms within that offense and those individual players that are on the court with them, really all Tibbs is running all year with the main five. And I don't know. Again, take the name out. If Tibbs is able to learn that lesson and take it forward, this team will be back and will be pushing on and probably break through next year. But if Tibbs is not that guy, then okay, I understand what you're saying, Brandon.
Yep.
And that's really just for Leon Rose to figure out. He has to have these conversations.
Yeah, but what do you think, Steve? What do you think? Do you think he's that guy?
I do. I think in the Pacers series, it took until now for him to learn it. But just looking at the rotation that came out with Towns, and that rotation won two games. Towns and Brunson blew one game. We could be talking about what's happening tonight. It was that close. Mm. And so come up with one, two, three more rotations. Get a rotation in there that is primarily Duke. Like, so I think he's the guy, but if Leon Rose has these conversations and he thinks it's going to go back to the same old, then I understand what you're saying, Brandon.
Well, that's the conversation. Good call. Very thoughtful. Good stuff. That's the conversation that I would have with Tom Thibodeau. Now, I don't believe they're even remotely inclined to move on from him. I believe he's got great support in Leon Rose, and I understand why he would have that support. But if I'm James Dolan, all right, I would ask him a few questions. So, coach, you know, how are you going to rectify? And there will be three or four things, and I've outlined them all show and really all year. I just don't know that I would get a satisfactory enough answer to retain him. Because it's just words. You had many different checkpoints to either change the rotation, you know, initiate things differently.
What if he said to you, dude, Carl Anthony Towns sucks. Can't win with him. Look at the offense that he gave me. Look at the defense that he gave me.
Then I would go to Leon Rose. If that's what was said, that's a good point. I would go to Leon. Again, I'm operating as if I'm Dolan right now and say, hey, Leon, I know we thought this was a good move when we made it. Why did we make it? Because I just spoke to Tom, and this is what he told me. And do you think that you can trade him? Like, if you believe that much in Tom Thibodeau, and I don't know if Dolan does. I think Leon does.
Yeah.
If you believe in him that much, where you ask him the opinion on Cat, and he's that honest and that transparent, and you don't do anything about it,
well,
you're not trying to win a championship.
You could also say it's year one. See, Dolan's been doing a great job of staying out of the way.
Yes, he has.
He's got to continue to do that here. Now's not the time to be stepping in, trying to fix things. When you get close, just let it breathe. Trust the people that you hired who have done a great job to get you to this point. Trust them. Win or lose, succeed or fail, you got to go down with letting those guys make the decision. You'll know when you need to make a change at some point. It's way too soon for that, as far as I'm concerned. Let Leon Rose figure out what he needs to figure out. Let Tibbs figure out what he needs to figure out. They know there's an issue. They know they need to correct some things here. You have to trust them. If Dolan starts getting involved now, it could lead to big problems down the road.
I would be open to that. Like, I would, as much as, you know, I don't believe Tom Thibodeau is the coach for the next level, nor do I believe Cat is the player for the next level, let alone the dynamic between Brunson and Cat, all the things we've said. But even if I was to latch on to that, I would still be very fearful, that mindset, because if it doesn't resolve itself and we're 30, 40, 50 games in next year and somebody hired Brendan Malone, like, Mike Malone, oh, yes. Like, at what point, where, like, there's got to be a definable recourse if you run it back and it doesn't work. And I don't think it would work enough to not have to make a change next season, which is why I want to do it now. Like, I want to implement seeds, and I want to have a team ready to roll that they go through the growing pains in November and December and January, not trying to figure things out in March and April and into the playoffs. And that's just not a place that I don't want to be stuck there.
BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls when we come back. Got to get into some baseballs at the Cadillac Club yesterday. Watching my guy Soto start to heat up. We'll discuss that as well as your Nick calls, 888-808-1019.